Across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests. And that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Oh, what a great update I have for all of you tonight about, well, my UFO research down here in Puerto Rico. And that's just, you know, the beginning. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about ghosts. We're going to talk about all kinds of creepy, magical practices, Santeria, all that kind of business. But let me just jump to this photograph. Now, if you are not a regular listener of the show, if you didn't listen over the past couple weeks, I'll just very briefly recap something for you. I'm here in Puerto Rico on the southwest coast, and I'm very close to what is called the UFO Lagoon, Laguna Cartagena. And this is a place that has been a focal point, a hot spot for UFO and USO activity for generations. And by USO, that's what you call the UFOs when they go in and out of the water. That's an unidentified submerged object. So the people around here in Puerto Rico have so many stories about seeing weird, not just lights, but very detailed craft. And the Laguna is in an area called Lajas, which also seems to be, generally speaking, a focal point of a lot of the weird paranormal stuff here. So you've got government experimentation that's been done in Lajas with monkeys. You got some kind of weird government base over there that's unmarked, and nobody knows exactly what they're doing. I mean, they're with the military, but nobody knows what branch. All this stuff is kind of centered around Lajas. And so I've gotten some fantastic stories collected over the past few months, but it wasn't until just a few weeks ago that I struck up a conversation with a bartender, and she said, "Oh, I have a photo of one of these UFOs." I said, "Huh?" So she brought up this picture on her telephone, and I was like, "I got to see that and analyze it and really take a good look at it." So I went through this long process of trying to make contact with the guy who took the picture, and it looked almost like it just wasn't going to happen. Well, finally, by much persistence and me being the annoying, you know, relentless researcher that I am, I finally got to meet the guy who took this picture. He and I sat down at a bar, just the two of us. And we had a long conversation about the photo. He was a really nice fellow, and I was very happy that he came across as being so sincere. His name is Lewis. I could tell you his full name. I have permission to, but at this point, I don't want to give the full name out just yet until all of our work and analysis is done. So his name is Lewis. He's 35 years old. And he has lived right here in this area his entire life. And I have met a lot of people who have known him pretty much his entire life. And everybody has nothing but good things to say about him. He is a scientist, actually. He works for a major company. I don't feel comfortable saying the name of the company, but if I said it, you would know it. And the funny thing is, his work, exactly what he does, is a secret. He works as a scientist on genetically modified seeds. And I thought to myself, how interesting that the guy who gets to take the UFO picture also works in an occupation that a lot of people connect with conspiracies. You know, the way the government's messing around with our food. And that's just another level of experimentation that's obviously happening around here in Puerto Rico. So he told me that he is a genetically modified seed scientist with this company. He has a degree and all that kind of stuff. But he couldn't tell me anything more detailed about exactly what he does. But I've had a number of other people who know him and his family, and they all say, yes, this is what the guy does. It's well known. So, Lewis, he has an uncle who owns a farm out in the area around Lajas, and his uncle's main income is from raising cattle and growing hay. And he said that about a year and a half ago, at 9:30 in the morning, he was heading out to his uncle's place, and when he got to his uncle's farm, which is pretty big, I think it was like 500 acres or something like that, when he got out there, the cattle were just running around going nuts. And so it's my understanding that he then stepped out of his car with his cell phone, and he thought it would be interesting to take a picture of all the cattle running amok. So he took several pictures with his cell phone, and he wasn't even really looking at the pictures as he was taking them. He was just snapping. You know how that is, especially if it's sunny outside, and sometimes it's hard to see exactly what you just took a picture of. It was later that day, when he looked back at his pictures, that he said, "What the heck is this?" Now, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you can see this photo. There is no period after the P. And for those of you who do not have internet access, or maybe just don't have it right in front of you, let me describe to you what you see when you look at this picture. And by the way, if you click on the picture, it will enlarge to an even bigger version. The picture is fairly nicely composed. Most of the upper half of the picture is blue sky, partly cloudy. And the bottom half of the picture is a hayfield, slight rolling hill. And on top of the hill, you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, we'll say in the neighborhood of 20 cattle. And they're all sort of grouped together, and they're all looking in the direction of the camera with that mindless expression that cattle so often have. You know, actually, now that I look at this photo again, I think a couple of those might be sheep. I'm not sure. It's hard for me to tell. I'm going to have to look even more deeply. But, right, I mean, almost, not perfectly centered, but pretty close to perfectly centered, is something that looks like a black saucer-shaped anomaly. And what makes it even weirder is that the anomaly, again, has a saucer shape, but there are two lines extending from either side of it. So if you envision a black saucer in front of you, on your left, there is a line extending from the top of the saucer, and on the right, there is a line extending from the bottom of the saucer. So it almost gives it a cyclonic type of sense. That here's what it reminded me of. When the weatherman says there's a hurricane coming, and he's got a little icon that looks like a cyclone that's kind of spinning, that's what it reminded me of. What makes it even stranger is that these little arms that are extending do not appear to be attached to the base of the saucer. There's like a little separation there, a little space of light. And off of one of the arms, there is an additional little speck, almost like, you know, something's being extended. Now, I know that that's a very weird description, and it makes it hard to envision what I'm talking about, but when you look at this anomaly, and I'm not telling you that I know what this is at this point, but when you look at this, I'm wondering if this is a a flying saucer type UFO. Are these little lines that we see extending, are they arms, or are these the product of light being distorted or warped in some way as it swirls around this thing? And, you know, my team has been analyzing this, and I got to tell you, we're not having a lot of luck coming up with an explanation here. In fact, I'm not even certain, you know, I'm asking people what their impression is. Do they think that this anomaly is in front of the cattle or behind the cattle? And I've gotten mixed reactions on that. So I can't say what we're looking at, but I want everybody to look at it and give me an opinion. Now, let's start with you, Forrest. Okay, when you look at this picture, again, at joshuabwarren.com, right off the bat, is your impression that this thing is in front of or behind the cows?
It looks like it might be in front of to me. The first thing I asked you was this actually taken from a car or from outside? Because my first thing is like it's almost one of those photographs that's too good to be true. And just wondered if there had been some kind of artifact if he was in a car, like on the car window.
Right, like the UFO picture that Shelley's friend took recently.
Right.
But, of course, no, there was no pane of glass between him and the subject there. I do know that. And so, Shelley, do you get the impression this thing is behind or in front of the cattle? What's your feeling?
To me, it kind of looks like it's coming from behind and bearing down on them.
Mm-hmm. See, that's so typical. You know, both of you have made a good point, because like when I first looked at it, I thought, oh, it's in front of the cows and they're looking at it. But a lot of people I've asked said, no, they think it's behind the cows.
Yeah.
We usually can look at a UFO picture and deduce something like that. In this case, we're having no luck. You were going to say something, Shelley?
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously it had no sound. But he would have been able to, or, you know, he would have noticed it when he took the picture, and he would have been able to tell from the sound whether it was coming towards him or moving away.
And another thing is, it doesn't appear that this thing is reflecting light. And so it doesn't look like one of these, you know, typical silvery metallic discs. But if this is a craft, it might be using some light-manipulating technology that gives it this very dark, shadowy form. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. And also, the world's wildest ghost photo. So, you know, it's like, while you're at it, while you're getting on the Internet and looking around, you may as well take full advantage and look at everything. And when you go to joshuapwarren.com, you'll see that we have not only the picture there, but also some close-ups of the anomaly and an enhancement as well. So stick around. We'll dig into that and a lot more. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Wish you were here.
Like a mariachi band in the middle of the street, people gather around. Dollar in the can. I wait. K on the DJ Cowboys hang around. Just sleeping in the sidewalk with a Burger King crown. Never wake them up. Massive insult to the rooster crows. Vatos de gallos.
Hey, bonuero. Hey, bonuero.
Hey,
bonuero. Hey, bonuero.
Mano blancos roll with crowbars. And chivas on cheap guitars. Abuelitas with plastic bags. Walking to the church with a Spanish candle. David Baracho says, que putas. Andale joto, your popsicle's melting. Run, bada, run, bada, run, run. Minus double juice in the midnight sun.
Where do you go?
Boys with loaded replays. What am I gonna talk about? Instant replays. Mango ladies bend the doors at a bus stop. Sing a band of macho chorus.
You know, right now a lot of people are on vacation. Maybe you are on vacation. Maybe you just got back from vacation. Maybe you're about to do it. A lot of people spend a lot of money on their vacations, and that's all good. But I tell you, all indications are that the storm season is going to be pretty darn violent this year. And it doesn't matter if you're in an area that's just prone to severe thunderstorms or hurricanes or tornadoes. I mean, whatever it is, there's no spot on planet Earth that's going to be truly safe from these storms. And the first thing that goes is the grid, this very delicate grid that we have set up. And when your power goes out and goes down, and even if you have a generator, when your fuel is gone, when you run out of gas and you can't get any more because it's all been pumped out, or you got lines that you have to wait in for 5 hours, you're going to sit there thinking, man, I listened to Joshua P. Warren talk about the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator all those years, and I never got one. Boy, am I stupid. How much money did I waste on my vacation that's just going down the toilet when I could have a lower power bill and independent free power for the rest of my life? And if you don't believe that it's the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price, I challenge you to get on the internet, look everywhere you can, and find a more powerful solar generator for a lower price. I challenge you to do that, because it's just not there. It's not out there. This is the best. Costs $1,500, free shipping and handling if you order right now. There's even a payment plan. So, you know, if you have to use the credit card, fine. Use the credit card while you still can. But if you're not convinced yet, just watch the video. Go to sunshinesimple.com, sunshinesimple.com. Watch the free video there. Look at the list of the things that it can power and find out how you can be saving a bunch of money and have independent power, reliable power, straight from the sun that never needs fuel the rest of your life. Now, before this break, we were talking about the UFO picture that I have posted at joshuapwarren.com. And, you know, I was saying that you might look at something like this and say, well, if this was just, if this were a physical craft there, the sun would be reflecting off of it. Maybe not. You know, there are saucer-shaped things that humans have created. There are saucer-shaped toys that fly around. But they were created partially because people were inspired by these exotic UFOs. I think the exotic UFOs, you know, they're obviously manipulating light and matter in some way, and maybe even, well, I guess gravity probably. And we don't know how that's going to be distorted, but there's a definite cyclonic energy about this photo. So go look at it for yourself and let me know what you think of it. But while you're there at joshuapwarren.com, you'll find a link that says World's Wildest Ghost Photos. And you can also go directly to that page if you just go to wildghostphotos.com. Wildghostphotos.com. If you go there, you will find 7 pages of what I feel are the coolest ghost photos and even some video from around the world. And Shelley Wright, I know that you have been to World's Wildest Ghost Photos. Any of them stand out in particular for you?
I love them all. I love the Brown Lady of Brenham Hall. I love the Liebeck photo of the soldier. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, those are great ones. I mean, I think that
You know, in my opinion, the brown lady is the best ghost photo that's ever been taken. But gosh, there are so many other good ones, like the newbie phantom.
The one from
Reynolds Mansion. That's an excellent photo if it's real.
Well, you know, I was about to say, in my opinion, I think that the Reynolds Mansion, what I call the Reynolds Wraith, is pretty much on par with the brown lady.
It is.
I mean, that is an amazing photograph that has been unknown to the ghost world until, you know, I recently was able to get permission from them to post it. Because you may remember that Billy at the Billy at the Reynolds Mansion, he did not even know this photo existed because the lady who owned it had kept it in a drawer for 40-some years. So this is like a brand new introduction to the world of paranormal photography, and it's an astounding picture. And of course, we also have a photograph of the young lady that they believe was, you know, the producer of the ghost, if you will. But yeah, the Civil War stuff is mind-boggling. Richard Liebeck's ghost photo, Patrick Burke's full-bodied apparition. Forrest, do you have any other particular photos that stand out in your mind?
Well, the Liebeck photo is probably one of my all-time favorite photos that has been taken, and that's the one that just stands out for me the most.
Yeah, and you know, the most fascinating thing about those pictures is that, you know, what you'll find on page 2 of wildghostphotos.com is I have two images from the Civil War. One of them is Richard Liebeck's ghost soldier, and this was taken at the Triangle Field at Gettysburg. And, you know, it's an infrared photo, but you can clearly see this soldier standing there pretty much looking right at the camera.
Looks
you
like
can see
carrying his haversack and see what might be a firearm that he's holding. Also, speaking of those photos there, the very last photo you have on there is the one where the meter falls forward then up to the side on that photos thing. That, I mean, we got that footage 10, 15 years ago, and that still just confounds me of how that device falls forward and up on its side like that.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. But let me just also add here, you know, speaking of Liebeck's photo, when Liebeck took that photo, I thought it was amazing. And it wasn't until after that I met Patrick Burke, who has the footage that you see posted above the Liebeck photo, showing the full-bodied apparition of a soldier walking across the field, and that was taken at the same place,
wow,
the Triangle Field at Gettysburg. These are two guys who did not know each other, had no connection to each other, and I was flabbergasted when I realized that two guys who were completely separate from each other, but both very credible researchers, had captured such well-preserved full-bodied apparitions at the same spot on that battlefield. But yes, Forrest, you're right. As you click through all seven pages here, and you look at the full-bodied apparitions, you look at weird stuff like Misty Brooke Keith's photo of some kind. I don't know if that's an alien or a ghost or what. You know, that was from Chicken Hill. As you go clicking through these and looking at all these mists and stuff, it's one thing. Well, even the devil dragons, which look like dinosaur ghosts from Lynn Jackson's farm. As you go through these and you look at amazing images, you still can ask yourself, well, are these just pictures? Are these just illusions? Are these just, you know, optical effects? Or is there something more substantial there? And when you get to page 7, as you were saying, Forrest, and you see that footage that Brian Irish shot, when were you there when we shot that, Forrest?
No. I wasn't.
Okay, that was before you joined Lemur. Okay,
yes.
So Brian Irish and I were in the one of the bedrooms of this house in Lancaster, South Carolina. And the woman who lived there was being just tormented by stuff. What you see, and gosh, we're coming up on a break already. What you see is that one of our meters was sort of violently attacked, was sort of tossed around. And it shows you the physical force that can be at play when these ghostly energies are around. So, man, you know, everybody says, I got to see it to believe it. Well, here you go, folks. Go to wildghostphotos.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mobius on Speaking of Strange. Spending your evening with us. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is the program where the unusual becomes usual, and it's amazing. It seems like the time is just flying right by tonight because we just have so much material to report to you. Already this hour, you've heard about the UFO picture from Puerto Rico, first of its kind I've ever heard of. Also, all of the ghost photos you can go look at right now for free at wildghostphotos.com. And also, I have an update for you I'm about to share regarding the bodies that have vanished from the cemetery here. I think it's a very creepy story from Garabo, Puerto Rico. I've been careful because I wanted to do a little digging, but I have to play it safe because this is the kind of thing that can get you killed very easily. So I'm about to tell you what my update is here shortly. But first, since I've been broadcasting from here in the Bermuda Triangle and Puerto Rico, I have not had Mr. Mobius on the air. And, of course, he is an integral component of this show, the man who does most of the research on these weird, fantastic stories that you get to hear every week. So we definitely wanted to bring him on and touch base with him this evening. Mr. Mobius, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Nice to be here.
Well, thanks for being on the program tonight. Are you staying high and dry there in West North Carolina?
More like wet and hot, but okay.
Oh, I know how that is. I'm always wet and hot in Puerto Rico. We're going to talk a little bit later, actually, about some of the night vision data that's been coming in. They're really getting out and taking advantage of the summertime to look at the skies, aren't they, Mobius?
Yes, this is the season, and we get the best reports from people out with night vision who are doing it on these warm nights where it's comfortable.
Yeah. So now, Mobius, you were the first person who sent me this story about these bodies that some people think may have just been resurrected and gotten up and walked right out of the cemetery here. What are your feelings on this story, Mobius?
I saw a lot of different takes on it, and the main element I saw was just generally confusion. Everybody didn't understand why they were missing, and no one seems to have any explanation. So cue you to go find out what's going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, for those who may have missed this story up until now, there is a town called Garabo, and it is slightly southeast of San Juan. So if you know anything about the layout of Puerto Rico, that'll give you an idea of where it is. It actually is sort of diagonally opposite from where I am located here on the southwest coast. So it's not the sort of thing I could just hop into a car and easily check out unless I wanted to drive, you know, 3 hours. But on the other hand, it'd be a bad idea for me to do this, I think, because okay, we're talking about a rugged, secluded mountain town and a cemetery that was built in 1912 that has over 300 mausoleums, and suddenly 40 bodies are missing from the mausoleum. Now, when the first reports came in, I was unclear on exactly how all this had evolved. I got the impression that maybe they had vanished in a night. But now other reports have come out, and that may not be the case. Apparently, some locals there decided to exhume some of the remains, for what reason I still don't know, to move them to another cemetery. And that's when the locals discovered that the remains were gone. I mean, without a trace. All right, we're talking not one hair left behind. And that's when they became concerned and started going through and checking all the rest of the mausoleums and realized that at least 40 bodies have vanished. They're also telling, I guess they didn't go through all of them because they're asking for other people to go to the cemetery if they have loved ones buried there to check and see if they are gone. So we may not know how long this process has taken of these bodies disappearing. But to me, knowing what it's like when you go to some of these really secluded, kind of downtrodden, rural mountain Puerto Rican towns, for a guy like me who's 6'2" and very, very gringo to go walking in there like Frosty the Snowman and sit down and start asking questions about, you know, where all the bodies went in the cemetery, I would be the target, I would be the focal point almost instantly of every person in that whole area who does not want their secret revealed that they've been stealing dead bodies. And I imagine the types of people who would steal dead bodies are maybe not the nicest people. And if they decided to make an example out of me, then I could very easily wake up in their little voodoo dungeon or something, and I don't even want to fathom what would happen next. It would be some serpent in the rainbow type stuff going on there. So I have chosen not to travel there and start snooping around and asking questions. But I'll tell you what I did do. I have a friend, a very good friend here in Puerto Rico, whom I affectionately call El Brujo. He is a Santero. And basically what that means is he is one of the very, very few people who has been sort of initiated into and is trusted within the culture of the mysticism here on the island. And Shelley Wright, we let's not use his name, but when you were recently in Puerto Rico, you got to meet him. So what? How would you describe our friend?
Oh, goodness. He was very, very accessible. I found him very easy to talk to. But he was very spiritual. I don't really know how to describe him. I got along really well with him. I had a lot in common with him.
He loves you, Shelley. You know, every time I talk to him now, he asks, "How's Shelley doing?" Because he says that you have some kind of spiritual power,
which I will use only for good. Mostly.
Yeah, you're a witch of some sort. We knew that. And so He always is dressed in white.
Yes.
And he has a white beard, and he has long white hair that he keeps in a ponytail. And he has almost a Gandalf quality. He usually wears like some type of a nice island fedora and a lot of exotic jewelry. And he's very soft-spoken, very articulate, and he's been through some pretty traumatic experiences in his life that brought him down this spiritual path. So he is one of the very, very few people who is respected as a shaman here on the island who also will talk to a gringo like me and meet my friends like Shelley when they come in. And the main reason he does that is because he knows that he can trust me. And he is actually a part of an African tradition called Ifa. So my friend here, and we'll just refer to him again affectionately as El Brujo, he said that, okay, Santeria is a religion in the area which is based upon a combination of all of these sort of tribal religions and Roman Catholicism. And that's because when the Spaniards came through here hundreds of years ago and were dominating people, they were taking slaves, native slaves and African slaves, and they were trying to impose Christian beliefs on them. And the natives and others who were enslaved, they still wanted to practice their true organic religions, so they kind of mixed the two together. So he said that there are people here who unfortunately take a very, very dark approach to this. And they are people who follow what's called, hopefully I get this right, Palomombaya. This is the dark side of Santeria. Some people also refer to them as the Palera. And what they try to do is to capture the spirits of the dead and use those spirits to do their bidding. And there are a lot of those folks around this area called Garabo. So what that means is that if these bodies have been stolen by the magical underground, the people who stole those bodies stole them because they want to capture their spirits. Now, the Palera who do this usually tend to go for more sort of dark, evil type people in life, like criminals or the insane. That's not always, of course, the case, but that's what they have a tendency to go for. And their idea is to entrap them by putting their physical bodies into a container called the caldero, which is like a cauldron. And then they wrap a chain around it.
All right, it appears we just lost Mr. Warren. We're about to go to a break anyway, so stay tuned. We'll pick up Josh's story right after this. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
We're in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour, and let me tell you, we have another stack of stories. Not for the easily offended, not for the kiddies. It's one of those weeks, and we're going to dig into all of it. Obviously, before the break there, you know, something weird happened. We've had a great connection all night.
Welcome
I'm here
back,
in
Mr.
Puerto
Warren.
Rico. What's that, Forrest?
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we had a great connection all night, and then I start talking about these evil spirits, and boom, that was it. Connection gone. Hopefully this is not a precursor to worse things. I'm going to turn around and some kind of demon's going to be standing here like, dare I say, Papa Bawa. But nonetheless, these practitioners, they trap the spirit in a cauldron by putting the body of the dead in the cauldron. So they have this dead body in the cauldron. They wrap a chain around it. And then they feed the spirit by pouring in various things or putting in various things over time. It could be alcohol, could be tobacco, could be blood. It just depends on what they need done. And so long as the body and the spirit are chained in there, they have no choice but to obey the Polera, or the Polero, I guess. And so, if, however, they are unchained, then that evil spirit can turn on whoever is nearby. Now, if you've ever seen an episode of the show Oddities, somebody actually discovered one of these big cauldrons with a chain wrapped around it and brought it in, and it was a big, you know, weird episode. You probably saw that, Shelley.
Yes,
didn't you?
I did, and I knew exactly what it was when they were like, what is that? I know what that is. So, yeah it was that was crazy eerie, and they couldn't see inside it.
Yeah, they tried to x-ray it, and it was just too dense. So, you know, our friend El Brujo there, he says that, hey, if these bodies are being stolen for magical purposes, especially in that area, that's how they're being used. And he said, oh my God, he said, there is some powerful, powerful dark stuff happening. If they have done this with 40 bodies, he said that this is, you know, the kind of stuff that makes the Ghostbusters vortex open up and, you know, the gates of hell start swirling. So, people have been saying something major was going to happen in Puerto Rico for a while, and it's pretty chilling to think that I might be here when some kind of hardcore magical practice like this is taking place down the road. And that may also account for why there's been a pickup in general of a lot of the paranormal activity. I mean, goodness knows, you can look up at the sky with your naked eyes and see UFOs flying around. But the night vision stuff just pushes it over the top. And people are really seeing a lot this summer with night vision, aren't they, Mobius?
We have reports coming in from some of our customers constantly. And it has been an amazing summer for UFO activity, just off the charts.
And, you know, and it, of course, it's great when you have activity that's bright enough to see with the naked eye. But if you're going to go out there and try to record stuff, you can't beat the third generation night vision. The technology is still restricted only to the U.S. and U.S. territories. But about how much does it cost now to get a really good pair of third generation night vision goggles?
We have a special, and it's not on the website. And this is the best deal going anywhere, and I dare anybody to beat it. We have a pair of PVS-7s, third generation, a 3x magnifying lens, and a hard case and a compass for $2,800. And that's about $1,300, $1,500 lower than anyone else anywhere that you can find. And again, go look for yourself. If you're looking for night vision, and you come to us and buy it, because we do have the best deal.
So, and now people do buy from us all the time, because we actually test these units to make sure that they meet our paranormal research standards. We're coming up on a break here, but how should people contact you if they're interested in this, Mobius?
At paratemporal.com, And as you say, we do test each of these. We have to personally make sure that they are select alpha and meet the criteria. And we sell some of the best tubes that anybody can buy anywhere, because I'm picky.
Yeah. Yeah, and then just go, if nothing else, go and just look at some of the videos there at paratemporal.com. And, you know, this is the time. Things are getting crazy. It's the year 2013. That number 13 means something. We're going to take a break. Mobius is going to stick around. When we return, it will be the dark 30 hour. And let me tell you, it's darker than ever tonight. Not for the kiddies and not for the easily offended. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Broke the looking glass. 7 years.